This is the first of a few lectures in which we're going to look at insurance premium tax, or IPT for short. First, we will introduce the legislation in which you'll find most of the rules. They are the Finance Act of 1994 and Statutory Instrument 1994-1774. So, what is insurance premium tax? IPT is an indirect tax levied on the supply of insurance. For VAT purposes, supplies of insurance are exempt. So IPT is a way that customs collect a VAT-like equivalent tax on suppliers of insurance. You will see as we go through our lectures on IPT that many of the rules are similar to VAT rules. In a moment, we will have a look at the definition of what constitutes insurance. Not all insurance contracts are liable to IPT, only insurance where the risk is located in the UK. We will also look at this in more detail in a minute. So, what rates of IPT are levied on insurance? There are two rates to consider. Firstly, the standard rate, and if you look up section 51 of the Finance Act 1994, you will see that this is 5%. Secondly, there is the higher rate of IPT, which you will also find in section 51. This is 17.5%. You will probably notice that these two rates bear an uncanny resemblance to VAT rates. You are probably already aware that from the 4th of January 2011, the standard rate of VAT is going up to 20%. As a result of the increase to the VAT rate, the higher rate of IPT will also become 20% from the same date. You will see a little later on in these lectures that the higher rate of IPT was introduced to counter VAT avoidance schemes. So this is the reason as to why the higher rate of IPT mirrors the standard rate of VAT. Also, the current 5% standard IPT rate will become 6% from the 4th of January 2011. We have already mentioned that contracts that do not cover UK risks are not liable to UK IPT. Even if the contract does cover a UK risk, it may nevertheless be exempt. The legislation contains these exemptions. In a minute, we will have a look at contracts that are liable to the standard rate, contracts that are liable to the higher rate, and those that are exempt from IPT. You will find more details about the higher rate in Schedule 6A of the Finance Act, and those contracts that are exempt from IPT are detailed in Schedule 7A of the Finance Act. Now we know what IPT is charged on, we need to look at some definitions in a bit more detail. Firstly, we need to see what constitutes insurance. So what does constitute an insurance contract? Well, here, the legislation is not much assistance to us. We have a definition in section 73, subsection 1 of the Finance Act, and this helpfully tells us that insurance constitutes provision of insurance. So that's cleared things up then. Section 70 of the Finance Act also tries to define what a taxable insurance contract is, but this does not help us much either. It says, any contract of insurance is a taxable insurance contract. The only help it does give us is by using the word contract. We must have a legally enforceable agreement. This means we have an offer that has been accepted, with consideration having passed between the parties. This would usually be satisfied by a proposal being accepted by the insuree and payment of a premium to the insurer. There is case law that further defines an insurance contract, and the case of Prudential Insurance Company and the Inland Revenue Commissioners in 1904 identified three elements. Firstly, that of a premium being paid. Secondly, the insured is being indemnified against a loss from an uncertain event. And thirdly, the insured must have been the one that suffered the loss as a result of that event. This is often known as an insurable interest. Public Notice IPT1 also provides customs view on the characteristics an insurance contract usually has. One type of contract that we have to be careful with when deciding whether it is liable to IPT is a contract for a warranty. Warranties can take the form of an ordinary manufacturer's warranty or an extended warranty. An ordinary warranty that is given by the manufacturer to the purchaser of goods generally forms part of the price paid for the product. Let's take the example where you purchase a dishwasher. You buy the dishwasher for £300. Included in the box, along with the operating instructions, is a guarantee card that says the manufacturer will replace or repair the dishwasher free of charge if it breaks down within a 2-year period. We have not paid for this warranty separately. Is IPT due on part of the £300 we paid for the dishwasher? I.e., does this constitute insurance? This type of warranty is not considered to be insurance. Effectively, the purchaser is being given a guarantee from the manufacturer that the product will perform as it should do for a reasonable period of time. In essence, the manufacturer is simply complying with his legal obligations in that the goods correspond with provisions such as fitness for purpose contained in the Sale of Goods Act. What if the seller of the dishwasher also sells an extended warranty with the dishwasher for £80, and the warranty provides for repair or replacement free of charge should the product break down within a 3-year period? This type of agreement is a contract of insurance. It is a separate agreement in addition to the sale of the dishwasher itself and has the characteristics of insurance. The insured is covering himself in the event that the dishwasher breaks down. So, even though the extended warranty may provide the same level of cover as the manufacturer's warranty, for the first 2 years at least, unfortunately, due to the separate nature of the agreement, it is liable to IPT. We also need to distinguish between a service contract and an extended warranty. A service contract is where the customer enters into an agreement with the supplier and the supplier will, for example, inspect, maintain and repair the product over a specified period of time in return for an agreed sum of money. This contract is not itself insurance. It is not an extended warranty. With an extended warranty, the product may never break down, and therefore, if that's the case, then no repairs are ever carried out. With a service contract, the customer is paying for defined services from the outset. The inspection, maintenance, etc. will be carried out. If the supplier subsequently takes out insurance to cover shortfalls in the cost of repairs, then this insurance itself will be liable to IPT. Now that we've discussed what constitutes insurance, we need to turn to the second point we raised, that the contract covers a UK risk. We're now going to look at what constitutes a UK risk. Before we go into the detail, let's find in the legislation where it says that only UK risks are liable to IPT. If you take a look at paragraph 8 of Schedule 7A of the Finance Act, it tells us that contracts covering overseas risks are exempt and not liable to IPT. We need therefore to decide what constitutes an overseas risk. Paragraph 8 refers us to another piece of legislation, the Financial Services and Markets Act of 2000, which in turn refers to Statutory Instrument 2001-2635. Regulation 2, subsection 2, contains the rules. If we are looking at insurance contracts that relate to vehicles, and this includes cars, ships and aeroplanes, then if that vehicle or vessel is registered in the UK, the contract covers a UK risk. This regulation was amended in 2007 for insurance that relates to a vehicle dispatched from one member state to another. For the period of 30 days beginning with the day on which the purchaser accepts delivery, the reference to the EEA state in which the risk is situated is a reference to the state of destination and not registration. For contracts involving buildings, then the contract covers a UK risk if the building is located in the UK. These first two rules should be easy to remember. The next one on travel insurance is harder to remember. If the contract covers a maximum 4-month period, it constitutes a UK risk if it was taken out in the UK. When determining the 4-month period, it is the period from booking to the end of the insured period that we look at, not the period of the holiday itself. For other travel insurance that is supplied to an individual, if the individual habitually resides in the UK when the policy is taken out, then that will also constitute a UK risk and be liable to UK IPT. What constitutes habitual residence is residence of generally 1 year. If the travel insurance is being provided to a company, then it will constitute a UK risk if the location of the establishment is in the UK when the policy is taken out. An ECJ case held that if the policyholder was the parent company of a group of companies and the insurance related to its subsidiaries, then when deciding where the risk was situated, the establishment or location of the subsidiaries was used. Otherwise, IPT could be artificially avoided by setting up the policyholder in a state that levied no IPT. You may have noticed that the same phrase cropped up a few times when we talked about travel insurance, the phrase taken out. Taken out generally means where you made the telephone call from when you took out the policy, or if it is made in writing, where did you post your application, or if it is made over the internet, which country were you in when you sat at your computer booking it. For all other types of insurance, the location of the person who is insured determines if the risk is in the UK. These are the same rules that applied for travel insurance covering more than 4 months. We'll also look at a tribunal case which concerned the location of risk. In the DSG International case, the policyholder, Appliance, was established in the Isle of Man. For IPT purposes, the Isle of Man is not located in the UK. DSG was the company providing the insurance to Appliance and was also located in the Isle of Man. DSG was a member of a group of companies which included a retail company that sold domestic appliances. This company was located in the UK. There were two other companies in the same group, Coverplan and Distribution. Both of these companies were also located in the UK. The circumstances giving rise to the issue were as follows. The customer would buy a domestic appliance from retail. Coverplan would sell a repair contract to the customer as agent on behalf of Appliance. In the event of the product breakdown, Appliance would repair or replace the goods. Appliance itself did not carry out the repair work. This was done by Distribution. The insurance bought by Appliance was to reimburse it for having to pay Distribution for the cost of repairs. Customs argued that the risk was located in the UK, as the repair contracts gave rise to the risk. However, the tribunal agreed with the appellant that the risk was the monetary loss suffered by Appliance where it had to pay Distribution to carry out the work. Therefore, as the loss related to Appliance, and it was only located in the Isle of Man, it was not a UK risk, and consequently, the insurance was exempt from UK IPT. To test your understanding so far, let's have a quick quiz. On the screen is a table with three columns. On the left-hand side, you have five examples of contracts. You have to decide whether each of the contracts constitute a UK risk, and therefore are liable to UK IPT, or if they cover a non-UK risk and are not liable to UK IPT. To make your choice, type a capital X in the relevant box. If you think that both boxes could apply, then type an X in both of them. Once you are satisfied, press the Enter key and the answers will be displayed. For motor car insurance, the contract constitutes a UK risk if it covers a car registered in the UK. Therefore, this contract is liable to IPT. For example, too, the insurance covers a non-UK risk because it relates to a building that is not located in the UK. For example 3, the travel insurance is for less than 4 months. Therefore, we look at where it is taken out to determine whether it is a UK risk or not. Potentially, both answers could apply here. It will be a UK risk if it was taken out in the UK, and if this American individual was abroad at the time of taking it out, then it will not be a UK risk. For example, perhaps they booked it over the internet. For example 4, as with the last example, we look at where the person was when they took out the policy. As we are told it was actually taken out in the UK via the internet, it constitutes a UK risk. It does not matter where the company is based. This means that the American company will be liable to register for UK IPT purposes. You will learn about this in a later lecture. The final example covered travel insurance for a 12-month period, which was taken out with a USA company over the internet by an overseas student who had been in the UK for 3 months. This does not fall in our category of travel insurance up to a maximum 4 months, so we have to look at the other rule we saw earlier. It says that if the individual was habitually resident in the UK on the date the contract is entered into, then it will be a UK risk. The answer to that is no. He is not habitually resident in the UK because he has only been here for 3 months and not at least 1 year. Therefore, the contract is not liable to IPT. It is a non-UK risk. If you struggled with that quiz, have another look at the rules and apply them to the scenarios again.